Welcome to The Spotter, a weekly podcast dedicated to the everyday challenges facing today's ministry leaders. It is necessary to stay close to someone who will challenge you to grow, do more, reach higher, and dream bigger. You should never allow yourself to be the strongest person in the room. You need a spotter. Here's your host, Jeff Wolf.
Hey everybody, thanks for joining me today for the podcast. I'm Jeff Wolf. I'll be your spotter for the next few moments. I want to share something with you from the Word of God to encourage you today. Well, for those of you who follow me, you know that I'm writing a second book. This pandemic has given me the time to put into this, and it has come along at warp speed, and hopefully we'll be going to print here in just a couple of weeks. As I finished something up today, one of the chapters toward the end of the book, the Lord began to speak to me, and I began to think about distractions. Luke chapter 10 is where I'm going to go with you for a few moments today. Sometimes when I'm writing, the Lord begins to speak, and these books literally just take on a mind of their own. And so this book is ending nowhere near where it started. And I'm thankful for the voice of God to give me direction in this way. And this book is really written for people who want to learn how to care for and pray for their pastor and their ministry leaders. You can get a pre-release copy for free. Just text the word RESTORED to 31996. Let me share with you out of Luke 10 a little bit about distractions. Have you ever been distracted? Are you distracted right now? Maybe there's something that you are doing that you believe is good, but it's become a distraction. Let me share this with you. Luke 10 verses 38 and 39. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened up her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Now, before you jump ahead of me, I have absolutely no intention of Martha bashing in this story. I think we give Martha a bad rap a lot of times because of the way that this story goes down. But let me point something out to you, just a little context and history. To the Jews, hospitality was a staple of their culture. In fact, hospitality was something that they practiced not just to their friends and family and neighbors, but to complete strangers and travelers. Their culture of hospitality was second to none. They pulled out all the stops in order to entertain their guests in their home. It was more than just good manners. It was the sacred undertaking of the physical needs of travelers. The Old Testament shows us time and time again what hospitality, how hospitality played a role in their culture. Abraham entertained three strangers in Genesis 18. Rahab entertained Joshua's spies in Jericho. In Joshua chapter 2, a man named Manoah and his wife were visited by the angel of the Lord who foretold the birth of Samson, their son, in Judges 13. Manoah detained the visitor, unaware that it was the angel of the Lord, and prepared a meal which the angel then instructed him to offer as a burnt offering unto the Lord. The Shunammite woman in 2 Kings 4 prepared a room in her house for the prophet Elisha because she entertained him so frequently. Hospitality was central to their culture. Now, when you look at the story in Luke 10 of Martha and Mary's hosting Jesus in the context of their culture of hospitality, you understand that this is an important dinner. They are not just hosting a traveler or a sojourner or a stranger who needed a meal. They are entertaining the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the rabbi, the teacher, the Messiah, someone whom they loved and respected and followed. And so Martha had work to do. Mary and Martha had work to do. The work was to prepare for this guest. And I want to point out that in their culture, that they would not just wait on Jesus to knock on the door or whoever the guest was. In the Jewish culture of hospitality, they would go toward the direction that they expected the traveler to be coming from. They would go down the road and they would greet the traveler on the way and then lead them to their home. That was just part of the hospitality. And when they were finished with the meal and the traveler or the guest left, they would likewise walk them down the road a ways. So they were serious about this. This was not like our culture in America, where we wait on somebody to knock on the door, and then when they're done, you know, we wave at them from the front door as they go on. No, this was serious. And Martha had work to do. She had to prepare the house. She had to prepare the atmosphere. She had to prepare the meal. She had to prepare the water pots with which Jesus would wash his hands and in the laws of purification. She had to make sure that the bread was baking, and everything was in order, because this wasn't about her. It was about Jesus. I want you to understand that. It wasn't about her, it was about Jesus. He was the guest. So when you understand that, you begin to have a little bit more of an appreciation for what Martha is doing. So in Luke chapter 10, as we see the story unfold, you jump down to chapter 10, verse 40, and this is where you see where I want to go today. But Martha was distracted. Think about this. Martha was not just wasting time. Martha wasn't doing things for herself. Martha was not being selfish. She was not being absent-minded, haphazard. She was doing something for Jesus. She was preparing the place where he would sit and rest and eat. She was doing something as a service, as hospitality unto the Lord. But verse 40 says, but Martha was distracted. She wasn't doing anything wrong. She wasn't being neglectful. She wasn't dishonoring her guest. She was carrying out her duties with fervency and passion according to her culture. And I would assume that Martha was no novice, that she had entertained before, and she knew exactly how to lay out a meal that was worthy of the highest guest. Now, we often throw stones at Martha, as I said as we began today. We often unjustly chastise her for being in the kitchen instead of at Jesus' feet with Mary. But Martha was a woman on a mission who had in her home as a guest the Messiah. And another misconception that we draw from the passage is that Martha is trading time with Jesus, communion with Jesus, trading that for works, and somehow she was trying to impress Jesus with her works, but that's not the case at all. You see, the culture and tradition would be that after she prepared the meal, it wasn't like it at our house growing up, you know, when Mama would set all the food out on the table, and when it was ready, she'd say, come on, everybody, make your plate. That's kind of how it works at our house. No, it wasn't like that at all. Martha wasn't going to call from the kitchen, Jesus, Mary, those of you that are here, come and make your plate. That's not how it worked. You see, Martha, when she was finished with the preparation, she was going to personally serve Jesus. And she was going to tend to him. Not only was she the cook and the hostess, but she would be the waitress. She would wait upon him. She would serve him and give her attention to Jesus. So she was going to have her communion with the Lord. She was going to have her one-on-one time with the Lord, but she was doing things in what she believed was the proper order. Now, let me go back to verses 40 and 42. But Martha was distracted. What was she distracted by? By all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him, being Jesus, and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So Martha was upset. She was upset not at Jesus, but she was upset at Mary. For when she addressed Mary's lack of assistance in preparing, she was equally chastising her for breaking an important rule of hospitality. You see, Mary was violating what was culturally acceptable. You see, I could break some of this down and just preach right here, but I've got to stay on track and not get distracted from my purpose. It was considered rude for a host or hostess to be too attentive to a guest so that they would not be uncomfortable. They were not to watch them too closely and make the guest feel uncomfortable as if they were being watched. But what's Mary doing? Not only is she being too attentive according to the culture, but she was sitting at his feet and she was listening, hanging on to every word. And Martha, I can imagine, being a type A personality and perhaps being a perfectionist like myself, that wants everything to be done properly and in order and by the book and, you know, all of those kinds of things. I can imagine Martha looking through into the dining room and seeing Mary sitting there just hanging on Jesus every word and saying, Mary, what are you doing? You're not supposed to behave that way. That's improper. That's not acceptable. You should be in here helping me because what I'm doing is important and what you're doing shouldn't be done. Martha's hospitality was by the book. Now pay attention to what I'm about to say. Martha's hospitality was by the book. And this is what I want you to focus on. You can do the right things in the right way, with the right heart, and still get distracted. Martha wasn't doing anything wrong. She was doing the right thing the right way with the right heart. She was the hostess, Jesus was the guest, and she was doing everything that she was supposed to do culturally in the era of hospitality. She was doing the right thing with the right heart and still get distracted. Is it possible to do things the way you believe they're to be done, to be entertaining the Lord, to be working for the kingdom, to be living right and doing all the right things as you know them to be, and still be distracted? Yes. Is it possible that the things you are doing for the Lord can be a distraction from the Lord? Yes, that's exactly what happened in Martha's case. The word here used in the original Greek in Luke 10:40 is peraspio. It means to be drawn away. It's the only time in Scripture that this particular word is used. It means to be drawn away. Now, read verse 40 this way. Martha was drawn away by all the distractions, drawn away by all the preparations that had to be made. Martha was drawn away by all the preparation that had to be made. Sometimes the things that have to be done get in the way of the reason for which they're doing them. The preparations draw us away from the guest. The busyness draws us away from the business. The ministry draws us away from the mission. Now listen to what I'm about to say. This is the second nugget I want to give you. Listen to me. Distraction is not always dysfunction. Sometimes it's as simple as a good thing that draws us away from a God thing. Martha was doing a good thing, but Mary was doing a God thing. How many times have you missed a God thing because you were doing a good thing? How many times have you missed a word because you were working on the atmosphere? Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying. Martha was setting an atmosphere for the Lord, but Mary was sitting at his feet getting a word. Oh, you didn't hear me. The atmosphere is important. It's important to set the right atmosphere. And as a pastor, I understand setting the right atmosphere for worship. You know, I'm not against all of these things that we do to set atmosphere, but atmosphere only goes so far. Atmosphere stops at the brain. Atmosphere prepares the mind. Atmosphere sets the mindset. It gets us in the right mind. But atmosphere doesn't change the heart. Atmosphere can change the mind, prepare the mind, set the mindset, but it's the word that changes the heart. Martha was preparing the atmosphere, but Mary was getting a word. Honey, I don't care what the atmosphere is, the word can always get to you. The atmosphere without the word is worthless, but the word doesn't need atmosphere to change a heart and to change the life. The word can stand all by itself. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with atmosphere. Atmosphere is important. It is. Atmosphere is important. Men, when you take your wives on a date, you want to set the atmosphere. Maybe a restaurant where there's low lighting and there's a little bit of music playing, a little jazz in the background, and you want everything to be right. Perhaps that's the way it was when you first began to court your wife. But even now, when I take my wife out, I want the atmosphere to be right. The atmosphere is always important. The atmosphere in worship is important. It is good to set an atmosphere of worship. But we can't get so addicted to the atmosphere that we miss the word. My Lord, I'm preaching to somebody today. I didn't mean to preach today, but listen to what I'm saying to you. If we get so wrapped up in the atmosphere that we miss the word, we've missed it altogether. Because I'm going to tell you, even when the atmosphere is wrong, even when you are in the midst of a fiery furnace, even when the storms are blowing around you and you don't have the right music and you don't have the right lighting, the Word of God can still penetrate all of the forces that are working against you and you can still get a word. Martha was preparing in the atmosphere, but Mary was getting a word. When I'm under a load, I can still get a word. When I'm in the valley, I can still get a word. If I'll listen, if I'll sit at his feet, no matter where I am or what's going on, I can still get a word from God. Atmosphere is important, but the atmosphere has to be penetrated with the word. Martha was worried about the atmosphere while Mary was getting a word. That's powerful. I want you to hear that. Now, I want you to understand that Jesus did not chastise Martha for her work. He just redirected her focus. He said her name twice. Martha, Martha. My son's 19, but when he was a little bit younger, you know, late school age, maybe even into his toddler years, even into adolescence and early teen years, I often had to say his name two or three times to break his focus from whatever he was fixated on. Seth. 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 And eventually Seth would hear his name. How many of you know that sometimes when God calls your name, you don't always hear it because you are fixated on a distraction? Maybe Jesus said Martha's name more than once because the first time she didn't hear her name. She was too busy yelling at Mary, too busy being angry with Mary. I believe that sometimes we get so fixated on what upsets us that we don't hear it when he's trying to speak. Sometimes we get so focused, so distracted by what angers us, by what upsets us, by what causes us anxiety, by our soapboxes. We get so obsessed with it, so fixated, so distracted that when Jesus is calling your name, we don't hear it. When he's speaking, we don't hear it. And he has to say to us like he did to Martha, he has to call our name more than once. Martha, Martha. He was doing it to break her attention, to break her focus on the distraction. Once he broke her focus, he then redirected her focus. That's what has to happen when you get distracted. Jesus has to redirect your focus upon him. Man, what a powerful verse. If you want to hear more of this, it's going to be in the book, 10 Reasons Why. Coming out in print, going to print in just a few weeks, but you can get a pre-release copy, an ebook copy, as soon as this book is finished. Literally, it's pre-release now because I'm still working on it, but I want some pre-release copies to go out because I need some feedback from you, and I'll give it to you free. Text the word RESTORED, past tense, RESTORED, to 31996. I'll shoot you an ebook copy. I can do that within minutes. I can do that even with what I have now without it being finished. It's not going to be the edited version. There might be some mistakes and whatnot as we get ready to go through the editing process. But if you want more of what I'm sharing with you, get the book. Look, my word to you today is this. You don't have to be doing something wrong to be distracted. You don't have to be going down the wrong road to be distracted. Like Martha, you can be doing everything the right way. You can be doing the things that are required, the things that are necessary, the things that somebody's got to do. Martha must have been thinking, look, I'm doing these things. I might rather be in there with Jesus, but somebody's got to do this. You can be doing things the right way with the right heart and still be distracted by what you're doing, that you miss what God wants to say to you, the word he wants to deposit into your spirit. And I want to challenge you to pray a prayer of focus over your life, that if you are distracted, whatever's distracting you today, maybe what's going on around you in our society is distracting you. Maybe you're distracted by the things going on in the world. Maybe you're just distracted by what's happening in your mind as you try to make sense of this. Maybe you're just going along trying to do ministry the best you know how to do under these circumstances. Whatever you're doing, maybe everything is just fine in your life, but you still are faced with the distractions that keep you from hearing your name when he calls. I hope that you'll listen to the voice of the Lord today. God bless you. Thank you for letting me share into your heart. I love you, and I'll see you next time, all right?
Thank you for joining us today. Subscribe to The Spotter on any major podcast provider. Visit us at jeffwolf.org for more information, and follow Jeff Wolf on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. To receive a copy of Jeff's newest project, absolutely free, 10 Reasons Why Pastors Are in Danger, text the word RESTORED to 31996. Message and data rates may apply. Remember to join us next week. Be blessed.